Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Well, let's turn over to Romans 10:10. We'll start there. We've been talking about what it means to believe with the heart. Romans 10:10. Go to verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's telling us how to get born again. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's in the heart that we believe, and that's how we got born again. It's not just an assent to our with our heads. Some people are just believing with, you know, out of their heads. They just agree with something somebody said, or yeah, I know Jesus is the Son of God, but it hasn't reach their heart. They're not believing with their heart. They're just agreeing to something out of their head. Verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart one believes, and that's what we've been talking about. If this is crucial to understanding faith, because it's with our heart that we're believing. It's with our heart that we're taking a hold of the promises. And we've been talking about what does that mean, the heart. And we've been talking about the inward man, that there is an outward man and there is an inward man. And it's that inward man that believes, that takes hold. It's like a rope. Like if you threw, I've never done this. Maybe you all have because you're from Texas, but I doubt it. I don't know. You've done a lasso, hook somebody, done that? Reel it in, or you come and, you know, get off the horse and get in there. But if you were to lasso something light, not a cow, but something, and you could pull it, that lasso and that rope gives you a connection, and then you pull it in. Well, that's what we do in the spiritual realm. Our faith is like that rope, or like with a hand that you take a hold of something that's in the spiritual realm and pull it over here into the natural realm. It's not with our head, and it's not with our physical body, and it doesn't have anything to do with those things. It's this inward man. If we can get a picture of this person on the inside, that it's not this outward man, then we can understand better how to believe and what, when we're believing, when we're not, and what it means when we're believing. Because it doesn't have anything to do with our senses. Because our senses aren't what is believing. And this is what can trip up people, is they're looking at the outward. And then they start having thoughts, or they start having feelings, and they say, oh, well, it's not believing. But it's not of the outside. It's the inward man that we can't see. And so we've been talking about the inward man and what that means. And just the fact that we do have an inward man, and just accentuating that just makes us more attuned to that fact. We talked about in Genesis 1:26 how that God created a man in the likeness, in his image, and it wasn't, our outward man. I don't know exactly our body. Obviously, Jesus came in the form of a man, but our spirit, the part that's going to reside forever, was created in the likeness of God. We read in John 4:24 that God is a spirit. And the Bible says that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we talked about how there's an inward man, which is your spirit, your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and then your body. And so when we're talking about our heart, one thing that full gospel people, or people that believe in speaking in tongues, when you're speaking in tongues, you are connecting up with your heart. So if you've spoken in tongues, then you know what it means to yield to your heart, to that inward man. And that same feeling, for lack of a better term, that same sensation, when you are speaking with other tongues, you are hooking up your mouth, essentially, to your inward man. Now, it's, your brain's got to process your mouth somehow. You know, it's causing the signals to go and move your lips, but you're not doing anything. It's not coming out of your head. Well, that gives us a kind of a sense of what it means when we're hooking up with our heart, that it's something on the inside, that it's something we're looking to on the inside. And this is the same thing as when we're believing. Anytime we're looking to the inside, it's not a mental thing. It's not a physical thing. It's in here, inside, deep down. 1 Peter 3, let's turn over there real quick. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3 says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now he's talking about verse 3, we kind of picked it up mid-sentence. He says, he's talking to women, he says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. He says, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart. So he's saying, don't get caught up in the outward person, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on a fine apparel. Now, side note, some people in certain circles have tried to make this about how the women dress and say, you know, they shouldn't do anything with their hair, they shouldn't wear gold, and so on and so forth. But if that's what we're saying, the next part of that verse says, or putting on fine apparel. Now, I'm not trying to be vulgar, but apparel, or that's clothes. So if he's telling people not to do these other things, he's also telling them not to wear clothes. And clearly, that's not what he's saying. He's not telling people not to wear jewelry. He's not telling them not to, you know, some people take this so in a certain way that they don't wear any makeup, they're not going to, you know, if somebody doesn't want to wear makeup, that's their business, but they think it's a command of God. They got to look basically like, you know, completely plain. That's not what the Bible's saying. It's saying, don't let that be your focus. In other words, some people can look great on the outside, but inside, just like the Pharisees, they're dead. And he's saying, particularly to women, that's not what it makes a woman beautiful anyway. People get so, good Lord, in this day and age, it's all about, you know, the external. The Bible clearly says that's going to change. But we accentuate, you know, 14, 15, 16-year-old, 18, 20-year-old, whatever, and these girls are totally messed up because they're trying to look like something that doesn't exist anyway. And it is totally, boy, when you see how fake some of that stuff is, how many times, like, I know you guys have heard it, but I mean, I've seen examples. They took like this plain girl. I mean, she's fine looking, but I mean, she wasn't like a supermodel or anything. They took her and they said, we're gonna show you what they do with these magazines. So like they showed it. It was a video. They took her. They did all this stuff, put all these layers of makeup on, did all her stuff with, you know, putting things where they needed to be. And like in 2 minutes, you're looking at her going, who is that? Because they completely made her over, but in the way they use to do these photo shoots, and it's just all fake. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But that's what people are focused on. They're focused on this outward person. And that doesn't... The Bible's saying, look, don't focus on that. Focus on getting yourself right on the inside, being the right person on the inside. In verse 4, he says, no, not all that. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. The inward man, the inward person of the heart, the person we can't see, the hidden person. We all are sitting here looking at each other through these windows, and that inward person is completely different than what we're looking at as far as, you know, this person's decaying. It's growing old and it's decaying. But it says that the Bible says the inward man is renewed day by day, replenished. Different. That inward man we can't see. But it's a real man. And that's the person, that's our spirit. 1 Corinthians, don't turn there, but 1 Corinthians 9:27, I think we read this, says, I keep my body under, and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This is Paul saying this. I keep under my body. He says, I keep under my body. I, the person, the real person, keep under my body. You know, you say, I keep under my kids or something. No, he's just saying, it's not me. I keep under my body. I keep it in check. I keep it under control. The real me on the inside tells this body what to do. Romans 7:22. Let's turn back there. Just reviewing a little bit on this. We'll get into some other things then. Romans 7:22. Romans 7:22, it says, For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. So my inward man wants to do things the way God would have me to do it. My outward man doesn't always want to do that. My outward man, it wants to do what it wants to do, and when it wants to do it, and how it wants to do it. And it doesn't like being told what to do. And our minds, basically, will, you know, they're just programmed a certain way, however they got brought up, and the stuff that, whatever we've put into it, that's why we have to renew our mind to what the Word of God says. But the Bible says, I delight in the law of God according to that inward man. That inward man loves the law of God. It loves God's statutes, the way God does things. And it is excited to follow God all the time. And it's in tune with God if we'll listen. But our outward man and our body and our spirit, not so. So we contact the spiritual realm with our spirit. We contact God with our spirit. We contact the intellectual realm with our mind. And we contact the physical realm with our bodies. We don't contact God with our bodies. Now, we can raise our hands in subjection to God. We could sing in our mind and out our mouth praises to God. But those are outward expressions. The way we really contact God is through our spirit. We don't contact him through our mind. And people are trying to do that. They're trying to contact him intellectually and think about him and understanding him. You don't contact God like that. You don't discern him like that. And he doesn't contact us through our minds. That doesn't mean he's spoken to us through the Word, but the Word is not nourishment and food to our mind. And it's not nourishment and food to our body, it's nourishment and food to our heart, to our spirit. And really, the Word of God is nonsense to our mind, to our unrenewed mind. The Bible says it's foolishness. Let's turn over there. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Just go back over a couple books here. 1 Corinthians 2:14. First Corinthians 2:14.
Actually, let's look at verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." Notice this. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now I want to read another translation of that. It says, "The natural man or the natural mind understands not the things of the Spirit of God." Our minds don't understand. Our minds don't understand the things of God. This is why you can't reason with somebody faith. You cannot tell them all the different ins and outs and intellectually reason with them and get them to believe, because we don't believe with our minds. We believe with our hearts. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Well, where does faith come? It comes to your heart. It doesn't come to your head. This is why you can hear something over and over and over, and then one day you hear it again and you're like, "I understand. What? How come I didn't see that? Have you ever read a scripture?" I mean, I know I go through the New Testament all the time, and then you see something. "I've never seen that before. Did I read it with my mind and my..." Yes, my brain has scanned, my eyes scanned that page. These words went into my brain, but the Spirit of God, I'm reading something, and He's quickening something on the inside of me. Now, that's not quickening my mind. This is not my mind discerning it. It's my inward man, my spirit, doing flips and getting excited and getting something, because the Holy Spirit, just like it says here, is teaching me, just like He's teaching us right now. You're hearing me with your ears, your physical ears, being processed with your mind, but it's getting down into your heart, and the things that register on our heart are what changes us. That's where faith comes. Not our heads. This stuff, people can read. Have you ever heard accounts? People read the Bible and read, and it's like, "This, I can't understand the Bible. They're not born again. What is this? I don't understand why." They try to read it, they can't understand it at all. Then they get born again. And all of a sudden, now you have the Holy Spirit teaching your head? No. Teaching your body? No. He's bearing witness with your heart, that inward man, the one that's going to go on to be with Him. And now, all of a sudden, these scriptures are alive. And things that we haven't seen, we start to see. Well, this is how faith comes. It's that inward man then, when that faith, when the Word quickens in that inner man, that's how we're going to believe. It's not out here. If we're saying, "I can't understand it, I just can't wrap my mind around it," well, we're looking in the wrong place. We'll never be able to wrap our mind around. We can't wrap our mind around God. We cannot wrap our mind around infinity. We cannot understand that concept. You can kind of say, "Okay, yeah, forever," but your mind just goes, always been. God's always been. There was no beginning. What does that do when we say that? We don't really have any concept of that. We just say, "Okay, yeah," and just kind of go on, because we can't really wrap, we can't hold on to that. We can't comprehend it. There is nothing we have a reference for, because we've only been around for a few years, decades. Even the oldest on the earth, I mean, you know, pushing 114, 150, 120, whatever, that's still not even near infinity. That's not near 1,000, let alone 1,000,000. Let alone 1 billion, let alone 1 trillion or 1 quadrillion. I mean, you're just getting to where we just don't even... That's why they make these... Anybody that talks about that stuff, when we even talk about $1 trillion, you know, they have all these... Well, this would be how many dollars if it were stacked end to end, and how many times it would go around the earth or whatever, to give us a concept, because we have nothing to tie it to. Well, how about forever? You just don't even... You just can't even comprehend that forever? I mean...
a trillion trillions? A trillion trillion trillions? I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. Our minds just rolled over long. You know those old video games? You hit 9999 and then they just roll over because they can't go any further? That's our brain. Well, so if we can't understand these concepts, and this is, we're believing God, we might as well just shut our brain off. I'm not saying we don't walk, we walk through life and God's given us a brain, so we don't want to completely not use it. If, unless God's word contradicts natural wisdom, we should walk in natural wisdom. But when God's word comes head to head with something that somebody would consider wise, but God's word tells us opposite, we go with God's word. That's when we don't look to our head to understand, we look to our heart. Well, the stuff we're talking, I mean, how really did Jesus come into the earth, born of a virgin, was born, and he lived a spotless, sinless life, lived to the age of 30 and then started his ministry, was on the earth for 3 years, and then went to the cross, was crucified, shed his blood, was put in the ground, rose 3 days, and went to be with the Father, and because of that, we can believe on that, and we can be delivered from hell, and our spirits and the inside can be born again and renewed. Would you tell somebody that? And people make fun of it all the time. In fact, it's become pretty cool to make fun of all this stuff. All this, you know, big man in the sky that doesn't exist, you know, the fairy tale man in the sky, believe a bunch of, you know, fairy tales and blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, prove it to me. That's what people, I mean, it's totally sarcastic and whatever. Completely, exactly. It's all, you know, tooth fairy, Easter bunny, Santa Claus, God, all the same thing. And to the natural mind, what are people saying? Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Show me. If you can prove it to me, what do they say? Prove it to my senses and to my sense of reason, then I'll believe. And there are Christians that try to do this and say, we have to reason with people and get them to believe. That's not how we do it. Because what I just told you makes no sense to the natural mind. But it's in the Word of God. And the Bible says if when they hear the Word of God, and if they can see the Word of God, it says faith comes. Faith is there. Now people can say, I'm not going to believe. They can put the kibosh and say, nope, not going to do it. Don't believe that. You got to prove it to me. Can't prove it to you. It's by faith. Where is the faith? It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. Well, this is the same. It's not just with salvation. It's the same with every area. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Brother Hagin relates this. Go ahead and turn over to Mark 11:24 real quick. We've looked at that several times, but I'm going to read this before we go on. Is this helping you? It's helping me. Just good. I mean, we focus on things and it becomes more and more real to us. We're all feeding our spirits right now. Mark 11, 20, let's read 23 and 24. Verse 23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed. Now read this and pay attention to what we're saying. See if this makes sense to your natural mind. For assuredly I say to you, now who's saying this? Jesus. Okay, the Son of the living God. We're Christians, right? And so that means we follow Christ. So if he said this, that would mean we're following him, if we believe it. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. People don't think that Jesus really meant that. Really, they don't. They don't really believe he meant that. There's all kinds of religion that talks. They say, that means something else, but it doesn't really mean what it says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things... Now, listen to this, read it. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, before we go into this much, Brother Hagin relates this story about when he was on his bed. You know, he was paralyzed. He had a heart problem. He was partially paralyzed, and he had messed up blood. If he pricked his finger, it came out like orange. So it was not good. His heart always beat irregular. He couldn't play like other kids. He would just get winded and all this. And he was on his bed, and he had seen this verse. And he could barely, you know, he didn't have much to do because he was in his bed all the time. So he would read the Bible, but he said it would sometimes take him minutes to turn a page because he just couldn't move very well at all. And he just, like this, and get it turned. And he got to Mark 11:24, and he wanted a pastor to come and talk to him about it, and because he really thought his answer was there. And so his grandmother, his mother asked their pastor to come, and he said he would. And Brother Hagin was excited about that, and he waited, and the man never came, never showed up. And, you know, he wasn't happy about it. He was really looking forward to it. He said he would come. He never came. And then there was another church in town. His grandmother talked to somebody, I don't know if it was Baptist or whatever, his same type of church, and that man said he would come. And so Brother Hagin was looking forward to that. And the man never showed up. And Brother Hagin says, he goes, I'm convinced to this day that God kept them from coming because they did not believe what Mark 11:24 said. And he says at this point in his life, he really, he had high esteem for those men. He would have said, I would have believed anything they said. So then there was another one, and it was his aunt, said, well, I'll ask, you know, this other pastor to come. And he came. And he didn't really expect him to come, but he came and he heard his voice outside. He couldn't hear real well, and he couldn't see real well, but he could tell it was him. And so then he heard him coming up, and so he couldn't see well at all, and so he could hear him coming in the room, and all of a sudden he was like in his face, and he was there. And so Brother Hagin said his tongue was partially paralyzed, and his throat was too. Just you know, part of it just didn't have any feeling. So it took him sometimes a lot of time to speak and to get the words out. And so he was trying to tell the man and ask him about Mark 11:24. And he said even when he could speak, sometimes the words came out backwards and messed up. And he'd have to redo them. And so he was trying. I mean, you can imagine a weak 16 or 17-year-old boy, half paralyzed. His heart doesn't work right, and he's got all these problems, and he's trying to get this out to talk to somebody. And he's struggling and trying to say it, and he was trying to get the words out, and he said if the man would have waited, he could have gotten them out. But then the man after a little bit, just put his hand on him, and he said, put on a real professional tone, and said, it's all right, boy, you'll be out of your suffering pretty soon. And turned around and walked out of the room. And Brother Hagin said, you know, normally my hearing wasn't very good. He goes, but I'm convinced the devil helped me to hear really well that day, because he went down and sat down in the living room with his family and started praying with his grandparents and said, oh, Lord, you know, help these grandparents that are about to be, you know, without their grandson, because they're just thinking he's going to die. And just prepare them and strengthen them, so on and so forth, and he can hear every word of this. And Brother Hagin said he just rose up. he couldn't say anything, but he said it was like the little boy that's disobeyed the teacher, and he's been put in the corner. He said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the outside, or in the inside. I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And he said, he was just inside screaming, I'm not dead yet. He couldn't get it out at all, but he was just so livid. He was just like, I am alive. I'm here. You're acting like I'm dead. And then he went to the mom and said, oh, Lord, please comfort this woman who's about to lose her son. And he said, after that, for a month, he didn't open his Bible. He said that man came and snuffed out the only light he had, the only hope, he didn't read. He was just not talking to God. He was just very disheartened. Because they did not believe that the Word said, that it meant what it said. Thank you, Lord. And so these people had come to an understanding based on their head of what the Word said, but they did not believe that Word meant what it said, because they weren't discerning it with their hearts. They weren't discerning it the way God set it up. So they were trying to reason things out and to try to explain it that way. And so Brother Hagin just sat, he finally picked up his Bible and started reading. And then he started getting a hold of what it really meant, of Mark 11:24, and that he could actually believe God. Now let's look back at the scripture. 24, verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So what does that mean? Whatever things you ask when you pray. Now this is a turning the corner here. We've been talking about our inward man, what it means to, we're talking about what it means to believe with the heart, and that we have an inner man, and that the things of God are spiritually discerned. Now, when we look at this verse, he says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You have to believe God. When do you believe Him? When you pray. You believe Him. You pray for something. When do you start believing? When you pray. And what do you believe? You believe that you receive the things that you pray for. When you pray, you believe that they're mine now. And then the Bible says you will have them. But you have to believe them. Do you pray and believe you receive when you see it? Do you believe you received it when you feel better? No, you believe. Look at the verse. It says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, you say, I don't understand that. That's because then it's registering here. Because this doesn't make any sense to our minds. Because what most people, what most of us are tempted to do is I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to check if I'm praying for healing. I'm going to pray, and then I check to see if I got any better. And if I feel better, it worked. If I don't feel better, it didn't work. Maybe I didn't pray right. Maybe I didn't really believe on the inside. Maybe I got to go study more. Right? Is this what people think? Is this what you've been tempted to think? But what does the Bible says? When you pray, believe, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive them. That means believe, you take them. Where are you going to take it? You're going to take it with your mind? Are you going to take it with your hand, your physical hands? No, you're going to take it with your heart. So how do you take it? By believing that you have it when you ask for it. And it says, if you believe that you have it when you ask for it, you'll have it. But what if we don't, what if I pray and I don't see anything change? It doesn't make any difference. Because that's my sensual, that's my sight, that's my mind. Is this registered or not? We're going to go over this in the next several weeks. We want it to drop down here because we may have heard this. And I've heard it. But we want to get it in here. Because we can't understand this with our heads. Because it doesn't make any sense. Because this is exactly the world to say, well, if it worked, prove to me that it worked. It either worked or it didn't. Right? Do an experiment and then see the results. And like Brother Hagin relates in his case, he goes, I know what people go through when they're trying to believe God for healing. He goes, I was on the bed, paralyzed for 16 months. And he said, if you don't think that's a long time, try it sometime. Try to stay in bed for 16 months. But he said, I know what people go through. Because I would so many times, I would be spending time with God and I would get blessed spiritually. He said, because you can't spend time with God without getting lifted up spiritually. And when you get lifted up spiritually, your body starts to feel a little better. And so he said, I would pray so many times and believe that, and I'd say, okay, this time I have it. I know you heard me, God. I know I have it. I've prayed. I have it this time. And then I would go to check my pulse. And it's no different. I still can't lift my hands. And I'd say, God, I thought I got it this time. And he said he did this over and over and over. And this is what people do. They think, I know I have it this time. And then they check something in the natural. Oh, I guess it didn't work. And what we have to move over to is, I believe I'm going to take it now. And when I take it now, I have it. And I believe I have it now. And I don't care what it looks like. I have it. Therefore, I believe I receive it. And it's mine. I have it now. And I don't go by anything I see at that point. I have it. I've taken it. And therefore, I believe that I'm healed right when I receive it, right when I speak the word, right when I pray, before I see it. I've experienced this, you know, in our household, and I've seen it more and more. That, like, I'll pray with one of my children or speak to something, and something will be there, you know, whatever the symptoms are. And you speak to it, believe you receive healing for it, speak to it, tell it to go, lay hands on them. You don't have to isolate it. You realize that? It's not either one. The Bible says if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. The Bible also says believe, whatever thing, this word, the scripture we just read, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The Bible also says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Bible also says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. You don't have to just use one of them. You can say, I believe I receive healing for this. Now, devil, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Sickness, you go. Body, you be healed. Immune system, you do what you need to do to drive out any sickness. But I remember there were so many times when, years ago, when I would say, "You're healed." I remember when we were at Rhema, man, there was just some times, pray for one of the kids, and then they'd be coughing still, and you'd say, "What's going on? I'm trying to believe. Why didn't that work? Or what's going on?" You know, it's still, and it would be like, I remember sometimes in the night, them coughing, it'd just be so grating every time they would cough or something. Because you're waiting, you're saying, you're just trying to like almost push on it to change. Missing it entirely. And when I started, this really started to dawn on me and say, no, when I speak to it, it's got to go. That's it. Period. And then if anything happens, no, you don't say, "Oh, it didn't work." Say, "No, I told you to go." No, I have it. I've already received it. I'm going down my merry way. When you dig your foot in there and don't turn, stuff starts to change. Because you've received and you don't look at the circumstance, you say, "That's immaterial. Nope, I have it. You're not pushing me off. I told you to go, and therefore it's got to change." And then stuff starts changing. I don't claim to have everything figured out. We're all growing. But there's a difference. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. It doesn't make sense. But when we realize it's not about our mind and our body, I in my heart, and if I believe in my heart, it doesn't matter if my mind's going, "What?" I just ignore my mind and say, "No, this is what the Word says. And so this is the way it's going to be." And then I don't look at the circumstance to judge whether it worked or not. Is this sinking in? Hallelujah. We are going to keep, you know, going over some of this because I believe we're turning a corner. But the bottom line is this, the simplest way we put it is that faith is believing that we have our answer when we pray before we see our answer. If we'll believe we have our answer before we see it, we'll have our answer. We don't worry about the quote unquote manifestation. That's God's part, that's not our part. When we say, "I'm waiting for the manifestation," we've gotten into His part. Because if we have it now, we have it now. We say, "I have it," period. And we leave the rest up to God. And if we're saying, "Well, I just don't know," then we're putting it off on the future, thinking God will do it sometime. And it's easy to slip into that. To say, "Well, God's going to do it. God's going to heal me. I'm just waiting." No, we don't want to get in waiting mode. We want to say, "No, I have it." And then we go on thanking God and just believing we have received. And then we'll see. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Remember, this is spiritually discerned. We are discerning this spiritually. We're looking at the Word of God, and our hearts are being changed. Let's just keep meditating on it. Just keep meditating on it with our hearts. Hallelujah. We'll pick up there next week.